Calling home from Cambridge, Massachusetts this morning is 22-year-old Maya Ramsden. Maya is the National Collegiate Athletics Association 1500-meter champion in the US and quite recently the National Indoor Mile champion as well. She has her sights set on the Paris Olympics and she's at Harvard University. Academically, she began at Lyell Bay Primary School in Wellington. Kia ora, Maya.
Hi, how are you doing, Jim?
Very well. You were actually born in New York. How come?
I was. So my dad works for the for MFAT, for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and he was working at the New Zealand mission to the UN there when I was born.
So with your dad's other postings, where else have you lived and maybe studied?
We first moved to Honiara in Solomon Islands. When I was about seven, we moved from Wellington at that point. And then we were in Suva in Fiji. And then I finished up secondary school in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia before coming to the States for uni.
And how many Kiwis can say that they finished their secondary school there? Not many, if any. So that's quite exciting. And what are you studying at Harvard?
I'm almost done, actually. I'm studying history and literature. With kind of a focus on poetry in the Pacific.
And you finish next month, do you?
In May, yep. It's coming really quickly.
Yeah, I imagine it is. Gee, when did the running begin? Because you have national titles here as well. When did that start for you?
Honestly, I think the start of it was doing Weetbix triathlons when I was like 5 and 6. And Fiji has a pretty big secondary schools athletics scene, I guess. It's quite popular and the national champs get a huge crowd and stuff like that. So it was really fun to kind of do athletics there. We kind of discussed me going home to compete at some secondary schools meets and North Islands and that kind of thing. So that started when I was in Fiji and then carried on through my time in Ethiopia as well.
How close are you now, by the way, to qualifying for the Olympics? Obvious question. And can you do that? Can you do it?
The answer is hopefully yes. So I'm in the process of kind of lining up a couple more big outdoor races because in this part of the world, we've only just finished our indoor season. So I haven't even actually raced outside yet.
All right.
So that'll be next weekend. But, you know, the qualifying deadline for World Athletics and is June 30th, so I've still got some time.
Well, you're certainly flying around the tracks of America. I saw in an interview somebody said, what a breakthrough year you've had, and you said words to the effect of, there's no such thing as a breakthrough year. Runners know that all there is grind. How hard do you train?
Oh, pretty hard. This week is feeling pretty tough. I'm probably at the track for kind of 2 to 3 hours a day, but that doesn't really include all of the other elements that go into kind of getting better and getting faster, which I think really are the more difficult parts. Like, it's pretty easy to show up at the track and listen to your coach, and training so fun because you've got all these people who are also running and loving it, and you can chit chat with your teammates and all that kind of thing. But it's kind of the going to bed at 10:30 and staying in on a Friday night and those kind of pieces that become more difficult but really are crucial to getting better.
So on a Friday night, the other students head out on the town and you head to bed. Has this level of dedication affected your social life and your friendships? It must have.
Absolutely. I feel really lucky to have a super great and close group of friends. And all of them, like all the people in my inner circle, really get my lifestyle, or even if they don't understand it, they kind of respect it and are willing to help me make those difficult choices. I'm not necessarily engaging with this giant bubble of people without kind of going to the party on the weekend.
Well, it'll be worth it in the long run. No pun intended. You've been at Harvard since 2020. What are your living arrangements there?
I live in the dorm, as they call it here, like the uni halls. I think it's over 95% of the student body lives in halls all 4 years
Wow.
because, I mean, a range of reasons that they have sort of this house system here where you get sorted after your first year. It's very like Harry Potter, Hogwarts in that way. You get sorted into different dorm buildings, and then you live there for the next 3 years, and you eat with those people, and there's a library and that kind of thing. So you end up having this little mini community within your school, which is quite cool. So it's going to be quite a shock to the system next year.
I imagine it will. So you're in Kirkland House, I was reading in
Yeah.
the student newspaper, and it is does sound Hogwartsy. You've got a wood paneled dining hall, for instance.
Yes. We and actually Kirkland's pretty lucky. We are, well, some say lucky and some complain. We're the last on the list of Harvard houses to be renovated. So it means we potentially have a bit of a like rodent problem, which is not so fun.
Rats. You've got rats.
Yeah. There are rats in Cambridge and there are definitely mice. I've never seen a rat in person in my building, but I have seen mice. It's so old. Like they can't, it's an old building that they haven't renovated yet. And so the critters find their way in. But it also means we have this gorgeous old house that is our house library. And if you're on the fourth floor of it, the floorboards creak and you kind of think it's going to fall down, but it's a good place to get work done. I don't think it's changed in the last like 100 years, so that part's really cool, and I'm worried it's going to go away once the house is renovated.
The rats of Harvard. I don't know if you can make the comparison, but do you think the daily reality of Harvard is any different, really, from the reality of life at a student hostel in New Zealand? It'll be pretty much the same wherever you are.
I think in some ways, yes, and then in some ways, no. Here, like our lives are just a bit more structured because we're still living in Harvard, like under Harvard's roof. So we're kind of beholden to these meal times, for example. Like the dining hall is open from 5:30 to 7:30, and if you're not there, then you have to get food elsewhere.
Yeah.
And so those kinds of things mean my routine is kind of on Harvard's clock. In a way where if I lived in a flat, I could have that sort of autonomy over my lifestyle a little more.
Well, as you say, you're going to be in a very different place once you graduate in May. So then what will you do? What happens then?
I'm not entirely sure. I want to keep running. And so I'm kind of figuring out what that looks like. The professional running world is a bit scary. It's super exciting, but there's also a million different ways to do it and to kind of have a lifestyle as a professional runner. So my job right now for myself is to kind of just be talking to all these different people. I'm talking to like girls I ran against last year who are now pros. Talking to my current coach about what he thinks would be a good setup for me next year. All these sorts of things to try and, yeah, just figure out what that life could look like and where I'm going to be happy and healthy and also getting faster.
Maya Ramsden is talking to us, the National Collegiate Athletics Association 1500-meter champion in the US. She's won indoors and outdoors. She lives in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Is there much money in professional running? I mean, I suppose you'll get to travel the world, for one thing.
Yeah, it's well, I can tell you I haven't got to that part of the discussions. So can't, I'm hoping. I'm hoping there is. I do think it really depends. Definitely there are a lot of people who are making a really good living for themselves and kind of are supported enough by a brand to be able to do that full time.
Right.
And that's kind of where I hope to be. Like I would love to have the sort of financial freedom to just be able to have running be my source of income and then figure out what else to do with my time at a later date.
Yeah, well, it's an exhilarating sounding choice of career. What do you suspect is your best distance as you mature into running? Because you're still quite young. And might it even be cross country, which I know you've tried?
Unfortunately, I think there will be a day where I have to move up to the 5K. I mean, Dad's been saying that since I was really little. I remember, like, the first time, I think the first time I went home to race, I wanted to do the 1500, and Dad was like, maybe you should think about the 3000. And I completely said no, and I didn't run any 3000s really until uni. And I think I've still got a couple more years in the 1500. I really think it's the most fun. I think it's like a great mix of strength and tactics, in a way that the 5K just doesn't get the same. Like, girls aren't necessarily throwing elbows in the 5K in the way that they are in the 1500. But unfortunately, I think physically speaking, my body responds really well to doing like quite high mileage and that kind of thing. So I do see a world maybe 5 years down the line where I move up.
But in the meantime, more excitement in the 1500.
Yes, for now.
Do you get homesick, Maya?
Yeah, I do. I think the hardest times are like, well, the hardest times are always right when you come, like right when you return to school after being at home. So like the first couple weeks of January, I was so miserable. Not least because I'd just come from this beautiful summer. And honestly, the weather in Wellington, like the last 5 days I was at home, was so good. I was kind of shocked. But then I got back to Cambridge. It was like 0 degrees every day. It was getting dark at 4 p.m. and I was missing my family and my dog and my room and like all the other things that come with being at home. Mm. It comes and goes.
No beaches where you are, no Lyell Bay, but good seafood, I'm told, for some reason, in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Yeah, the beach is like a 45-minute ride on the train for like the terrible city beach. Like, it's you don't really want to get in the water. And then the actual nice beach is like over an hour away. But yeah, New England has good, like, good lobster, good, like, scallops. So if we're kind of going out for a nice meal, and or if you've got guests or visitors or something coming, then treating them to some good seafood is always, I mean, like when my family comes, they always want some seafood.
You're known at Harvard for your fashion sense, I think. You don't swan around in trackies. You like to dress stylishly, they say.
It's true. I spend so much time like in sweaty gear. I don't know why you'd want to do that going to class or something.
On Instagram, you seem to like retro outfits, or do you just like kind of quality older clothes?
A bit of both, I would say. I think some of my best items are from my mom. I've been lucky. She's kept a lot. And then a couple of my aunts have as well. And like, so I just kind of grab from them. My little sister, who's taller than me, I take a lot of stuff from her too. And it's always kind of, you know, we get on FaceTime before I fly home. And sometimes she'll be like, Maya, like, what do you want of mine? Or what are you going to give me in exchange? And I have to make sure I pack it so we can do the trade when I get back. We've done that a few times. Or it's like, I'll lend you this until you're home again. So for 6 months, I get like this new item that I have to then give back to her. But because our seasons are flipped, it works quite well for me and my sister, because she can give me her winter stuff in time for my winter, and then I'll bring it back for her. In time for hers. Yeah.
That's perfect. Now, where you live is just out of Boston, basically. I mean, some people even call it a suburb, but it's pretty individualistic. It's been called, this is Cambridge, and it's been called the City of Squares, and in each square is a different kind of experience, more or less.
Yeah, and I would say the best parts of Cambridge, I'm sorry, Harvard, but are going to be like leaving Harvard Square, at least in my opinion. I think for a tourist or for a visitor, Harvard Square has a lot to offer. But of course, like when you're here every day, the best kind of hidden gems of Cambridge are in other squares. And yeah, so you can just walk to the next one over.
Kendall Square has been called the most innovative square mile on the planet. You know, startups, entrepreneurial startups. And also, I think Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Meta, Apple, they're all tucked in there somewhere.
Oh wow, right by it, because it's right by MIT.
Right.
I only go there to go to the cinema.
Yeah, and there's also a technology square as well, not far from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Okay, a lot of old red brick. You'll miss Harvard, will you? It's an exciting place to be.
I think so. I'm really ready to be done with school. Like, I'm tired. But I think I'll miss like living so close to all of my friends. I think that's one of the huge benefits of everybody living on campus. It means you really are like the furthest away any of my friends live is a 10-minute walk.
Yeah,
And
that's
I don't know when
handy.
else in my life I'm going to get that. So I think I'm going to miss that. People are really passionate about everything they're studying and doing here. And it's all of that excitement and passion is really concentrated around our campus. So I'm going to miss that part too.
Understood. Has Harvard lost any of its luster? You know, you had the big national conversation about the Claudine Gay resignation over plagiarism and, you know, anti-Semitism on campus and stuff. The is that discussed at the undergraduate level? Is that a big topic of conversation among people you know at Harvard?
Yes, I would say it's almost like twofold. I would say on the one hand, it's absolutely discussed, like that it impacts us, and people really have strong opinions, and that's kind of forming the conversations people are having at the breakfast table. And I think from the outside world, and kind of all of the media storm really around everything last semester, maybe people would assume that our lives on campus were drastically changed when really the everyday experience of not everyone, but a good 90% of Harvard students didn't change. And so it's sort of a both and, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, people are definitely engaged in those conversations. And I think people still went to their 9 a.m. class and kind of got dinner with the same people on a Thursday night and that kind of thing.
It's a very liberal town, isn't it? I mean, Donald Trump won't be getting many votes in Cambridge come November.
No, he won't.
One of the most liberal cities in America. But that makes sense, doesn't it? You've got all the startups and all the universities. I mean, the two big universities. So we understand all that. Is it a fairly well-off area as well? I imagine it is, the whole town.
Yeah, it's a pretty unequal spread, I would say as well, though. Like, Harvard Square has, and I don't know the numbers on this. This is honestly more anecdotal than anything else, but we have a really big unhoused community that kind of gravitate and kind of congregate in Harvard Square. And but then, yeah, like the suburbs you're surrounded with are really well off. So it's kind of you have this like full spectrum of inequality kind of staring you in the face. And I also think our campus is pretty socioeconomically diverse. It almost mimics like a little bit of the demographics of the country. So we also have this huge range of inequality. And, you know, there are some kids who are coming from just crazy, crazy wealthy backgrounds. And then there are kids who are coming from not a lot and are on full financial aid. And then there's all the rest of us in between, you know.
That is the great socioeconomic juxtaposition in America now. So it's interesting that it's reflected at Harvard as well, isn't it? It's
Yeah.
if we were coming to visit you, the Charles River Nature Reservation. I saw it online. It looks pretty charming. Is that where you'd take us on a warm afternoon in Cambridge? What would we do there?
Oh, absolutely. We'd probably get some snacks. We might walk to Trader Joe's, which is a great feature of life here, for cheap snacks, and then we'd go sit on the river somewhere. It's really stunning, and apparently it's one of the cleanest urban rivers in the country.
Ah.
You wouldn't guess. Like, I don't think it kind of gives itself this energy of being super clean, but supposedly it is. And you'll see kind of like people rowing and sailing on it. But it's a great feature, especially when it's warm out. In the winter, it sometimes freezes over.
I've heard of Trader Joe's, but what actually happens? What's on offer at Trader Joe's?
Oh, everything. It's like but it's all the brands that they stock are in-house. It's just a supermarket, but like everything is Trader Joe's brand, so it becomes very cheap. They have this great marketing strategy, I guess, or brand strategy. But they have all sorts of fun snacks that they do a good job of. Mostly it's marketing, I would say, but a lot of young people love it. I feel like when you go in there, it's just, you look around and it's just like students and then like maybe people in their 20s are shopping there for the most part. It's really fun.
Do you have a favorite museum locally? Because I see you've got the Museum of Science, the Harvard Art Museums, the Harvard Museum of Natural History. You've got a Museum of Archaeology and Ethnology. You're not short of culture in Cambridge. Is there a favorite of yours?
Yeah, I actually love going to Boston to the Institute of Contemporary Art. There's one Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum that I haven't been to yet that has this very Instagrammable photographed courtyard that's got these plants and stuff like that that I'm hoping to get to before I graduate.
There's no shortage of culture. So where are you going to live after you graduate?
It's unclear. I think also one thing about my childhood is that we got some choice, but sort of limited choice, and definitely as my parents got more than us kids, but we were just kind of like, okay, we're moving here and we're going to make the most of it. So I think for me also, because of that, where I go is kind of, I know I'll be okay wherever.
I'm sure you will. And when you run out of places to run, I'm sure the career will go, I was going to say swimmingly, but that's not right. When you've run out of places to run for the next 10 years or so, I mean, what will you do then? I know it's a long way off.
I'd love to go back to school. I'd love to move home and go back to school and do sort of a master's or a PhD. I've said to some people, like, I think that my dream life is really just like running, and I love being a student as well. And so if I can find a way to just make the rest of my life those three things, I'll be pretty happy, which I know is pretty idealized, and like, we'll see if it actually works out that way. But I'm going to do my best to make it those two things for as long as possible. So that's kind of my current plan.
Listen, at your age, you don't have to think about it for eons of time. You've got the world at your feet, and you're running swiftly across it. Lovely to talk to you. You've given us a new word too. When you said unhoused people, I thought that's the new word in America for the homeless, is it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it gives a little more dignity as well, you know. Like, we have no idea how people got into this situation, so.
Yeah. No, I found it interesting when you said it. I was ruminating slightly on what you've just said, actually. Very good.
Yeah.
Hey, lovely of you to give us your time. All the best with getting to the Olympics, if that happens. If it doesn't, I'm sure you'll excel on the track, and whether it's the 5K and your dad's right, or whether you can stick around the 1500 distance for a bit longer and get the greater excitement. Thank you for being a great guest, and thank you for calling home.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Maya Ramsden. A very likeable, admirable, and wise young athlete, say Owen and Charmaine. Her dad's advice may be gold, literally, because most Kiwis race distances too short for their basic speed, wishing her all the very best for her future, as have others.